Welcome to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Next Tuesday, voters in New Hampshire will hold the country's first primary to select both the Democratic and Republican presidential candidates. Although Senator Bernie Sanders holds a roughly 20-point lead over former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the Clinton campaign is doing all that it can to substantially narrow that gap. This week, Sanders and Clinton tangled over who is the true progressive in this race on CNN.
Secretary Clinton said, some people call me, I'm paraphrasing, some people call me a moderate, and I proudly, you know, say that I am a moderate. That's what she said. So what all I said, you can't go and say you're a moderate on one day and be a progressive on the other day. Some of my best friends are moderates. I love moderates. But you can't be a moderate and a progressive. They are different.
I was somewhat amused today that Senator Sanders has set himself up to be the gatekeeper on who's a progressive, because under the definition that was flying around on Twitter and statements by the campaign, Barack Obama would not be a progressive. Joe Biden would not be a progressive. So I'm not going to let that bother me. I know where I stand. I know who stands with me. I know what I've done.
What are the issues on the minds of New Hampshire voters as this campaign enters its home stretch? And what are the campaigns doing to reach as many voters as possible? Today in the program, our guest is someone who's very familiar with the political landscape in New Hampshire. Dan Barrick is a veteran political reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio, and he joins us now. Hey, Dan, thanks for being on the program.
Sure, glad to be here.
And our program today is structured just a little differently than most Vermont editions. We'll be taking calls in this first segment with Dan. And then we have two segments that were both taped yesterday before last night's Democratic debate. The first segment features Jeff Weaver, who is the campaign manager for Bernie Sanders. The second segment is a conversation with former Governor Madeleine Cunin, who is a spokesperson for the Clinton campaign in Vermont. Our phone number is 1-800-639-2211. We'd love to hear from any New Hampshire voters today about how you're viewing this race. Perhaps you've made up your mind. Perhaps you're undecided. If that's the case, what are the factors that will help you make up your mind? Give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. What are the key issues in this Democratic race between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton? 1-800-639-2211. Dan, last night's debate was pretty feisty between Sanders and Clinton. How do you see this Democratic race shaping up in New Hampshire as we enter the final weekend of the primary campaign?
Well, you're right. The tone was certainly as sharp as we've seen over the course of this campaign. In substance, though, I don't think that the issues were really marked any great shift over the course of the campaign between Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton. I think in the last few days, you're going to continue to see. I mean, Senator Sanders, he's been consistent. His, you know, the stump speech he's giving this week is a very similar to the one he gave 6 months ago when he first really started revving up his campaign around, you know, what he calls a rigged economy and growing diminishment of the middle class. And I think you're going to just see really a real focus on driving out core supporters. I mean, the events that they have that Clinton and Sanders have scheduled between now and Tuesday are of the big rally, get out the vote type, where you know, you pack a high school gym or an auditorium with your known supporters and get them excited so that they'll go out committed to vote. They'll be talking about the experience to their neighbors. And I think the real question that we're going to be looking at over the course of those days is, so what does that result in on primary day? So you have on Clinton's side, she has been tagged as the establishment candidate. You know, you referenced that in the debate, you know, who's establishment or who's more moderate, who's more mainstream. If you just look at something like in New Hampshire, just who's backing her, you would, in fact, have to say she represents the establishment Democratic Party in New Hampshire. She's been endorsed by current Democratic Governor Maggie Hassan, senior senator, Democrat Jeanne Shaheen. If you look underneath that, there's also, interestingly, her campaign apparatus. A lot of her top staffers here in New Hampshire are people with deep roots in electoral politics in New Hampshire. Mike Vlasic, her state director, has worked for basically every top Democrat in the state for the last 20 years. That comes with a real advantage in terms of she's got, working for her are people who know how to win elections in the state, who know how to drive out voters, who know what areas to target. So I do think there's a certain advantage there. Senator Sanders obviously has been relying on a lot of younger voters for his support. We've had reporters go out and talk to young voters on college campuses, in cities across the state, and almost universally, that's where the enthusiasm is. He's also trying, I think, to really lean into the state's independent voters, who are the largest bloc. But the trick there is there's also a competitive primary on the Republican side, and those independent voters can decide until Tuesday which race they want to vote in. So the challenge for Sanders will be harnessing both, you know, younger voters who may not have as long a history of going out on Election Day, and independents who like his message, but maybe at the last minute they'll be attracted to a Marco Rubio or a Donald Trump or someone else who's articulating, you know, a similar message, but from a different political, a different partisan spin. I think that's really what both campaigns are focused on in these last, you know, 4 days.
Dan, you mentioned the endorsements that Hillary Clinton has in New Hampshire, also in Vermont, for that matter, with Senator Leahy and Governor Shumlin supporting Hillary Clinton. How much difference does that make over there?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, the New Hampshire Democratic Party has really had a lot of success in recent years by tacking more towards the center. Three of the last four governors in the state have been Democrats, and they've all been very much in what you might call a Clintonian mode, you know, being tacking towards the center on certain issues. I mean, the Democratic Party playbook in New Hampshire for the last 15 years has been to take the tax issue off the table, which traditionally is what Republicans have used to rally their supporters, and really pitch themselves as the party of moderation. So there you know, there's a history of that. That's the kinds of Democrats that politicians that Democrats in New Hampshire have leaned to in the past. But I do feel this is a year in which, you know, anything that smacks of establishment, that smacks of, you know, generational approval, you know, is really not appealing to voters. We're seeing that on both sides of the party. And I do think it's interesting to watch. You heard in the debate last night where, you know, one of the moderators went through that list, as you did, both in Vermont, you know, Governor Shumlin and Pat Leahy, and in New Hampshire, all the so quote unquote establishment Democrats from northern New England who are backing Clinton. Senator Sanders turns that into a badge of honor and says, that's fine by me. That's not what I need. Whether or not that, you know, as I said, the real thing to watch is that there's the establishment, you know, the bold faced names, but there's also the establishment campaign infrastructure that can actually make the difference on Election Day. Clinton does have that. That's one of her big advantages in New Hampshire. She has the people who have won elections for the candidates.
Today in the program, we're looking ahead to the New Hampshire primary. Our guest is Dan Barrick of New Hampshire Public Radio. 1-800-639-2211 is our phone number. If you're a voter in New Hampshire, we would love to hear from you today. 1-800-639-2211. Dan, let me just run a bunch of issues by you and tell me, are these issues in play in New Hampshire? Do voters care about them, or is it mostly campaign rhetoric? Okay?
Sure.
All right. Bernie Sanders, I'm the true progressive in this race. Hillary Clinton is not. Does that make a difference?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you do hear, you don't really hear that term progressive. I'm not sure for folks coming out to these events how much they feel the need to identify with the quote unquote true progressive. I think a lot of it has to do with a feeling of authenticity, you know, and Senator Sanders has been consistent in his message for decades. This is not something tailored for the campaign trail. So I think, you know, maybe instead of progressive, this sense of authentic belief in the rightness of his message. You know, on the other hand, I think Senator Clinton's would prefer not to get into that debate, but talk more about, you know, standing on a platform of competence and practicality and experience as a substitute for something like establishment.
And then we hear Hillary Clinton saying many times last night that the Sanders agenda is totally unrealistic and is pie in the sky and will never be adopted by Congress.
That, you know, I've heard a lot of people who like both candidates who are leaning Clinton because of that very argument, and whether that's something that's been absorbed through the, you know, through through Secretary Clinton's rhetoric or, you know, a real visceral feeling of voters. I do think that is weighing on the mind of a lot of voters. And I do think, you know, New Hampshire primary voters notoriously wait very late, very close to primary day to making their decisions. I think that is just talking, you know, having spoken with people at events, talking anecdotally to friends and neighbors. That is that's a balance that folks are making, that, you know, this sort of, you know, classic head versus heart argument that voters are trying to grapple with.
Another big issue that Bernie Sanders brings up all the time, certainly brought it up last night as well. He says we have a corrupt campaign finance system in this country. And he points out that Hillary Clinton is taking speaking money from Wall Street interests. Does that play over there?
You know, it's the kind of issue that shows up a lot when you ask voters what percent of voters say who favor reforming campaign finance in this country and the impact of corporate dollars on our politics. It shows up a lot. In fact, there's a lot of groups here in New Hampshire that have been very active, not only through the primary, but even before that, trying to raise that issue. It's hard to know, though, how many voters actually vote on that. But it's something you see. It's something even if you go to a lot of campaign events, you will see groups that are, you know, they sort of call themselves bird doggers. They're trying to get out there and not quite picket, but, you know, hold up signs and get candidates to talk about that. It's definitely part of the conversation. I'm not sure it's a real determining factor for a lot of voters, though.
And how about this one? Hillary Clinton likes to point out that she has a lot of experience in foreign policy, Secretary of State for 4 years. And she says Sanders doesn't have the foreign policy experience to be an effective commander in chief. We certainly heard this last night as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of your earlier point, this, you know, sort of practicality, you know, who can get things done. And Clinton's more fully rounded political resume certainly is very attractive to a lot of voters. But I think that that specific issue is resonating much more strongly on the Republican side. That's really, you hear that a lot when you go to Republican events, that people are concerned about security and terrorism. Immigration is often folded into that, border security, and a real sense that those key parts of, you know, America's policy focus have suffered under President Obama. You hear that much more on the Republican side, as a contrast to what they feel are the failings of the Obama administration.
So right now, Dan, Bernie Sanders in the most recent polls has somewhere around a 20-point lead over Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire. Now, the Clinton campaign says, of course, Bernie Sanders is doing well in New Hampshire because he's from a neighboring state. But Sanders has dismissed this analysis and says people only support him because they agree with his policy. So in your mind, how big a factor is geography in this race?
Well, I think it's a factor, but I don't think it's as big a factor as the Clinton campaign has discussed. And I don't think it's for the reasons they have. I mean, New Hampshire and Vermont, there's a lot of cross-border traffic. There are similarities, but culturally and politically, very different states. I mean, New Hampshire is still very much a purple state. It's a state where Republicans can win statewide elections. The Republicans have had a lock on our legislature for a long time, with periodic breaks in recent years by Democrats. I don't think Bernie Sanders could win statewide office in New Hampshire, whether running as an independent or a Democrat. As I said, you know, even the Democratic Party in New Hampshire tends to favor, less heart-bleedingly liberal candidates. But I do think, you know, the one advantage is a pretty obvious one. It's been easy for him to get over here a lot. He's, you know, he lives in Burlington, which is, you know, 2 hours from down 89 from the New Hampshire border. You saw this with Governor Dean 12 years mm-hmm. ago. So I do think that's an advantage. But I think you'd be hard-pressed to find, you know, maybe more than a handful of New Hampshire voters who support Senator Sanders who say, oh, yeah, I like him because, you know, he's that Vermont guy, right? Yeah, I do think it's that is a little bit of an expectations game that the Clinton campaign is playing with that line.
Let's go to our callers and start off with Steve, who's calling from Burlington. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just was noting one of your earlier comments was about endorsements. And, of course, now that Peter Shumlin or Pat Leahy has endorsed Bernie, and I think, especially in Leahy's case, they ought to be absolutely ashamed. 8 years ago, Leahy endorsed Obama. Obama had almost no record. And he endorsed her over Hillary Clinton. Now here comes Bernie. Great history, great record, great for Vermont. And this guy can't support him? it's really pretty outrageous. And I think it just shows the old guard is they're not ready for change. They just want to hang on to power. And Clinton is the establishment.
Okay, Steve, thanks for your phone call. If I remember correctly, Senator Leahy actually pledged to support Hillary Clinton maybe as long ago as a year and a half or 2 years ago, before Bernie was in the race. But your point is well taken, Steve. Dan, I'm wondering, expectations, you were talking about that earlier. It's funny, right now, the Sanders campaign with a 20-point lead, they're saying, gee, if we win by 7 or 8 points, that will be great. And the Clinton campaign is also downplaying expectations. So is that what this is really going to come down to, an expectation game? And what's at stake there?
I think that's definitely going to be part of it. I mean, that's often part of the New Hampshire primary, right? I mean, sometimes a win is a win and you move on and you claim a win, as Senator Clinton has tried to do out of Iowa, you know, take a narrow win and just call it a win and move on. And sometimes, you know, New Hampshire primary history is littered with examples of people who didn't win, you know, didn't come in first, but ended up springboarding out of New Hampshire. I mean, Bill Clinton is a perfect example, right? He was the comeback kid by finishing second. You know, a lot of people to this day swear that he won the New Hampshire primary in 92 and he didn't. Mm-hmm. But it could, you know, it can play the opposite too, you know, a candidate who has been polling, wide blowout like numbers for a while and does not end up reaching that, achieving that on election day, can somehow be tagged as quote unquote, you know, losing. I mean, we saw that with, Donald Trump actually did finish second in Iowa, but I think even if he'd won by just 1 point, it would have been some, you know, we're seeing that. I do think for Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, the two of them having such strong and consistent leads in the state for so long, the assumption may be in a lot of voters' minds that's a given on election day. So, you know, that's one of the things to watch is not only who wins, but how it's perceived by the candidate, by rival candidates, by the media, and by voters in subsequent states. I mean, Marco Rubio is a perfect example. He finished third in Iowa, which by most measures is, you know, two places out of winning. But he is getting a lot of new attention here in New Hampshire this week. And you talk to people at those events. Why are they coming out to see Marco Rubio? They say, well, I really, you know, he did really well in Iowa. He really surprised a lot of people. It'd be interesting to see how that plays out in states down the line, whatever ends up happening here next Tuesday.
Dan, we got this email from Steph who writes us, one thing missing from the conversation is the fact that Bernie has always been an independent. My concern is that he's been quite happy to jump on the Democratic bandwagon and take the opportunities and privileges of that structure and use it. In the past, he's really never supported our two-party system. How authentic can Bernie be as a Democrat when he's never considered himself one? Is that an issue over there?
You know, it was earlier. It seems to have quieted it down. It was an issue. It actually reached the state's ballot law commission back in November, which is, you know, an independent body that reviews questions like this about whether somebody's eligible to be on the ballot or whether they can run with this party or that party for the very reason that your emailer pointed out. It was pretty quickly snuffed out, actually, by the Democratic Party establishment here. The New Hampshire Democratic Party chairman, Ray Buckley, accompanied Senator Sanders to his official file, you know, if he had to file the paperwork to get on the ballot. And the two of them stood there in front of the press, and Sanders turned to Ray and said, I'm a Democrat today, aren't I, Ray? And Ray said, you are a Democrat. So I think that was kind of put to rest. You still hear that from some people, especially Clinton supporters, who say, this guy is a visitor. This guy is a guest in our party. And he, you know, how dare he? But I don't think it's really it hasn't dogged Sanders much lately.
Dan, we're almost out of time, but I'm wondering, what's the role of social media in this campaign?
Well, pretty huge. I mean, for Sanders, that he, you know, it's interesting to note he declared his candidacy back in May or June. He wasn't on TV for months, but he had a very aggressive online digital advertising approach, Facebook, Twitter, raising money, identifying supporters. I think that's, that was a big advantage for him earlier in this campaign.
Be fascinating to see what happens Tuesday night in New Hampshire. Dan Barrick of New Hampshire Public Radio, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll hear from Jeff Weaver, the campaign manager for Bernie Sanders. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. As we know, voters in New Hampshire will go to the polls on Tuesday to select their candidates in the presidential primaries. Senator Sanders currently enjoys a big lead over former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, but a lot can change over the weekend. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk to Sanders' campaign manager, Jeff Weaver, about his strategy in New Hampshire. Jeff, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Happy to be here.
So, Jeff, it seems like there's an interesting role reversal going on in New Hampshire when it comes to expectations. It's one of the few states where Bernie has a very healthy lead. The latest poll was 22%. I guess the question is whether or not Hillary Clinton can close this gap in the next few days. Would it be fair to say that New Hampshire really is a must-win for Bernie and you need to win it by a substantial margin in order to maintain the momentum you currently have?
Let me say this, Bob. I think we are ahead a little bit here in New Hampshire. I think some of the polls that are out there that show these gigantic leads are, overstating the lead by quite a bit. So this is going to be a hard-fought contest over here in New Hampshire. I mean, the reports show that the Clinton campaign is moving 150 staffers from Brooklyn up here. They're spending a lot of money here in New Hampshire. And I think people forget that 8 years ago, Secretary Clinton won the New Hampshire primary against President Obama. So, we're expecting a much closer race than people say. We're going to be out campaigning every day. As you know, Bernie is a very active campaigner. But we are working hard here in New Hampshire and working to win.
Well, would you be disappointed if in the end you win New Hampshire, but you win it by 7 or 8 points?
Oh, no, I think that would be a tremendous victory. As I said, President Obama came into New Hampshire in 2008 with a double-digit lead, and he ended up losing by 1 point. So, as you know, the race is very, very volatile in the last week, particularly early in the process. This is the first primary. We've just come out of Iowa. A win like that, I think, would be a tremendous win, and we would be very, very gratified and very appreciative to the people of New Hampshire.
Jeff, it seems like the major fight between Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton in New Hampshire is over the word progressive. Who's a progressive? Who is not? Why does this matter?
Well, I think it matters to voters. I think voters need to know where the candidates stand in terms of their governing philosophy. Often, Bob, it's these elections turned on, what people have done in the past. And in many cases, presidents are going to handle issues or confront challenges that people can't even conceive of at the time of an election. So it's important for voters to know where the candidates stand in terms of their philosophy, in terms of their disposition toward different interest groups or donors and what have you, because people want to be able to have the ability to judge where candidates will come down, if they're president in the future. The point of this all began because Secretary Clinton in September, appearing in Ohio, said, people say I'm a moderate or a centrist, and I plead guilty to that. So, but lately she has said she's a progressive, or a progressive who likes to get things done, although I would argue that many of the things she wants to get done are so progressive. But, I think it's just important that these words have meaning, and I think voters deserve to know where the candidates stand.
So why is being a moderate not the right course of action in some cases?
It's not. I don't think that's the issue. I think Bernie was quite clear yesterday that nothing wrong with being a moderate. He knows and likes and has friends who are moderates. If you're a moderate, you're not a progressive. I mean, there are different philosophies.
Is there a litmus test for being a progressive?
No, I don't think so. I mean, again, this is not about a litmus test. This is about what the secretary said, on the campaign trail now versus what she said in September. It's much more a question of consistency than litmus test.
Jeff, independents can choose to vote in either the Democratic or the Republican primary next Tuesday. It's believed that a lot of these independents might vote for Republican candidate Donald Trump. What is your campaign doing to encourage these voters to support Bernie?
Well, look, we're reaching out to independent voters, on a one-on-one basis on the phones or visiting them at their homes. I think, as you've seen in the polling, you know, Bernie has a tremendous amount of support among independent voters. It's overwhelming. And in fact, you know, his support among independent voters is key to the fact that we see in poll after poll, including polls coming out of New Hampshire, as well as national polls, that in general election matchups, Bernie Sanders, in fact, is the strongest candidate against the Republicans. And these polls have shown that he does better against every one of the Republicans, whether it's Rubio or Trump or Cruz, than does Secretary Clinton. And that is in large part due to his strong support among independents. You know, 42% of American voters are independents. And so in the general election, the Democratic candidate at the top, as well as Democrats all the way down the ballot, have to attract the support of independents. And if you can't, then the Republicans win. And this is one of, you know, one of the dangers that the Democrats would face if they decided to go with the Secretary Clinton, that they could help elect the Republicans, because independents would not be as supportive of the Democratic ticket. You know, as an example, in New Hampshire, there was a poll recently that showed Bernie versus Trump in a general election matchup. Bernie beats Trump by 19 points. Secretary Clinton was only ahead by 1 point. So this is a very, you know, very much a cause for concern. And, you know, there's a narrative out there that the secretary is more, quote unquote, electable in November. But in fact, what we're seeing, the research is showing that, in fact, that is not the case. And again, it's driven in large part by Senator Sanders' strong support among independent voters.
Jeff, polls in Iowa also showed that Hillary Clinton has a lot of support with voters over 65. I think 69% of people in this demographic group voted for her, just 26% backed Bernie. With all the attention that Bernie has made with improving Social Security, Medicare, why hasn't his message been better received by these older voters?
Well, you know, we're gonna have to make a stronger effort to get that information out to older voters in New Hampshire and in the states that follow. You know, as you pointed out, Bernie has a strong record of defending Social Security. He has a proposal to extend the life of Social Security and to expand benefits. So, you know, we're going to have to work harder to get that message out. You know, I think in some cases, you know, as Secretary Clinton has, you know, ran again 8 years ago. You know, her husband ran 2 times before that. I think a lot of voters were familiar with the Clintons generally, right? They were more familiar with the Clintons. And so I think, you know, for many people, when this race started, Bernie had a support level of around 3%, a very low name recognition outside of, you know, Vermont and maybe, you know, parts of New Hampshire where he is familiar. And so, you know, if people are familiar with one, I think the secretary was sort of the default candidate for many of those voters. At the beginning. And so, you know, we've worked quite hard to break through. But, you know, we have more work to do. There's no doubt about it. You know, on the other hand, young voters, you know, he won young voters by 70 points. So, you know, and I think that largely has to do with his strong work in social media. But, you know, we're going to continue to reach out to older voters and to talk about his record on Social Security, but also on, you know, veterans benefits and a host of other issues that are affecting seniors.
Jeff, I wanted to ask you about a group of Sanders supporters who have been referred to as the Bernie Bro. These are men between the ages of 25 and 45 who are aggressive and abusive to people who support Hillary Clinton or anyone who has concerns about some of Bernie's proposals, and quite often their targets are women. The BBC had a big article about this and described it this way: these Sanders supporters are deploying vicious and often sexist rhetoric towards anyone questioning the Vermont senator or his backers. Now, the digital director of your campaign tried to address these concerns by urging everybody to be more polite in social media, but that message doesn't seem to have had any impact, and things seem to be getting worse. Are you concerned that this group of people are undermining support for Senator Sanders because their message is so violent and intolerant and so out of line with Bernie's beliefs?
Well, certainly we don't condone, and we would hope everybody would engage in politics in a civil a way and not use any kind of inappropriate language or tactics. I mean, that's certainly the way that Bernie, Bernie tries to run a civil and civilized campaign, and we would hope that all of our supporters would do that. You know, the internet, unfortunately, the anonymity of the internet allows a lot of people to behave in a very bad way, and we would hope people would not do that. So, you know, I would hope that everybody on the internet would behave in a civilized and dignified way, and, you know, represent what's best about American democracy, which is a discussion of ideas in a, you know, rational and calm way, without name calling or what have you.
Well, are you taking any steps to try to discourage this behavior?
Well, we certainly do. I mean, we do it online. You know, we've done it in Reddit. We have, you know, volunteers online who try to do it. But as you know, the internet is a wild place in some ways. And again, the anonymity of the internet allows people to say and do things that they would never do if they, you know, had their name attached to it, or, you know, if you were talking to them face to face. So I would just encourage everybody on the internet to you know, behave in a way that they would behave if they were talking to somebody face to face. You know, it's a little bit like, internet is a little bit like road rage, right? You're sort of disconnected from the person you're talking to, and you feel like you can do or say anything. So I encourage people to behave in a dignified way.
Jeff, on March 1st, a dozen states, including Vermont, will go to the polls on Super Tuesday. What's your strategy for that day? You can't be everywhere at once.
Well, I have to tell you that we are everywhere at once, so we have a staff on the ground in every one of the March 1st states, and in many states beyond, frankly. You know, this campaign, what's different about this campaign, Bob, than many insurgent campaigns in the past, is that often in the past you've had an insurgent campaign that has raised a small amount of money to be able to compete maybe in Iowa and New Hampshire, and then even if they were relatively successful, they had depleted all their money and they didn't have the resources to continue on. That's not the same in this campaign, I have to tell you. Due to the generosity and outpouring of support from middle-income and working-class people, primarily online, you know, we've received so 3.5 million contributions, averaging $27 a piece in this campaign so far. You know, the month of January alone, we raised $20 million due to the generosity of Bernie supporters. You know, we raised $73 million last year. So I have to tell you, we are raising the resources that a modern, fully staffed campaign needs to raise. This is going to enable Bernie to take his campaign all the way to the convention. So we are, in fact, going to be everywhere at once.
Jeff Weaver is the campaign manager of the Bernie Sanders campaign. Jeff, many thanks for being on the program today. We really appreciate it.
Happy to be here, Bob. Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll hear from former Governor Madeline Cunin, who is a spokesperson for the Clinton campaign in Vermont. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Our coverage of next week's New Hampshire primary continues. We've heard from the Sanders campaign about their efforts in New Hampshire. Now we'll hear from the Clinton campaign. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to talk with former Governor Madeline Cunin, who is a spokesperson for the Hillary Clinton campaign in Vermont. Governor, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Governor, 6 months ago, Hillary Clinton held a commanding lead over Senator Sanders in the Democratic presidential primary race. Earlier this week, Clinton and Sanders virtually tied in Iowa, and polls suggest that he has a solid lead in New Hampshire. What do you think happened over the past few months to make this such a competitive contest?
Well, it was bound to be more competitive than it was 6 months ago, and clearly Bernie's message has found resonance in the voters, but I don't think we're finished with this primary campaign by a long shot. You know, this is just the start, and we don't know yet what's going to happen in New Hampshire. And, you know, both Iowa and New Hampshire are very white states. They're not representative of the population of America as a whole. And I think Hillary is really coming into her own at this point. In a way, it's been healthy to have a challenger so that she can really show her stuff and what she believes in and her qualifications, which are, you know, overwhelming in terms of every other person running for president. So I think she's going to do very well in the end, just because people will stop and take a second look and say, who's really qualified to lead this country in good times and in bad, in not only domestic policies of income inequality, which must be addressed, but also in foreign policy when we're living in such precarious and even dangerous times.
Governor, some people in the Sanders campaign challenged the notion that Hillary Clinton is, quote, a progressive. They say she doesn't support Sanders' Medicare for All health care plan. She doesn't support his call for free tuition at public colleges or his proposal for a $15 federal minimum wage. What would you say to those folks?
I'd say she absolutely is a progressive. It depends who you compare her to. Certainly, if she receives the nomination, the Republicans are not going to consider her a conservative. And judge her by her actions. She instituted a helped pass the law for the CHIP program, for the Children's Health Insurance Program. That is similar to the Dr. Dinosaur that I sponsored years ago in Vermont. She's focused on education. She's, you know, it depends who you compare her to. And the difference is, what can we actually achieve? I'd love to believe that we could get a single-payer system in the United States, but there's no way we're going to get there. It was such a huge struggle to get the Obamacare program. So she is on the side of saying, let's fix it, let's make it more inclusive, let's make it better. And that's an achievable goal, whereas single-payer is, frankly, for the country, pie in the sky.
Governor, there was some very interesting poll information from people who participated in the Iowa caucuses. First, among young people, and these are voters between the ages of 18 and 29, Sanders led Hillary Clinton by 84% to just 14%. How much of a concern is this to you, and what does it say about the way that young people view Hillary Clinton?
Well, of course, it has to be a concern because we'd like to get every age group engaged. And frankly, I can't totally explain it because from my point of view, Bernie is not the only revolutionary candidate. I'm looking forward to seeing the first woman in the United States raising her right hand and having Bill hold the Bible on Inauguration Day. And that having a woman, just like having the first African-American president, will change things. You may ask how. Why is a woman different? Well, a woman will have somewhat different priorities, not on every issue, of course. And some issues, women and men would have to have similar policies. But on issues like childcare, on issues like paid family and medical leave, and issues like equal pay for equal work, women will put those issues first on the agenda because they've lived through it. They've lived through it as working women. They've lived through it as mothers and wives. They know what gender means in their lives. Now, a man may say, oh, I believe in this too, but it's not quite the same. And I draw on my own experience as governor. You know, the first bill that was passed in my first term was kindergarten for every child. That issue had been around for a long time, but I put all my chips on that bill, and that's how we got it. And Dr. Dinosaur. So I think women fight harder, and you have to fight hard for these issues, for women's issues, which are now, frankly, no longer just women's issues. They're economic issues because women can't get to work if they don't have childcare, and they can't stay at work if they don't have paid sick days and paid medical leave.
So, Governor, why do you think so many younger voters are not making the election of the first woman president a top priority this year?
Well, I think they think gender equality is a done deal. Women my age know about the struggle. We've lived through that, and we know how significant it would be. But, you know, the word revolution is exciting, and you like to be on the front lines of a revolution. the words, I have a plan to reform Wall Street, is not as exciting. But a plan may actually work where a revolution may be stalled. You know, it's easy to say I will have free tuition in public universities for everybody. Yay, wonderful, we'll applaud at that. But again, the question arises, can you get it done? Hillary has a plan to reduce debt, to reduce interest rates, but obviously it's not does not have the same magnetism when you just say the word free education. So Bernie has been successful in winning those votes and that support because he speaks in very stark, direct terms. But we have to ask ourselves the essential question, can he get it done?
Governor, the second issue from the Iowa voter poll is this question. Is this candidate honest and trustworthy? 83% said Bernie Sanders is both of those things. 10% said Hillary Clinton was. How do you overcome this perception of Hillary Clinton by so many voters?
Well, you know, a lot is going on to influence that. I mean, Hillary Clinton has been battered by Republicans from the day that Bill Clinton was elected. She's been in the public eye. She's been criticized. Her record has been examined. Her life has been examined for many years.
Governor, this has been described as the year for the anti-establishment candidates. We see that with the strength of Bernie Sanders in the Democratic race and certainly Ted Cruz and Donald Trump in the Republican race. Have you ever seen voters so upset with the status quo?
No, but, you know, I've lived a long time, but not forever, so I can't go all the way back in history. But sure, there is a frustration. And I think the real cancer in our system is the way campaign funds are raised. You know, 158 families, billionaires, have contributed half of the funding for Republican candidates. I mean, that's obscene. And it threatens democracy itself. So I understand that, and I understand income inequality. But, you know, it's not the only issue. It's a gut issue. It's an important issue. But you have to remember that there's a lot else going on. And as president, you have to deal with everything that comes across your desk. You can't say, I'm just going to focus on income inequality. You should. But you have to focus on what is happening in the Middle East. You have to focus on labor laws. You have to focus on women and economic issues. So there is anger. But there's a place where, like with Donald Trump, where I think the anger is dangerous, where the anger is not just about economic issues. The anger is against immigrants, specifically against Muslims. So I think when you whip up a crowd, you have to be careful that you don't appeal to their basest instincts. And I think Donald Trump takes it obviously to the extreme. And frankly, I'm frightened by what he does in a crowd and what he actually believes in.
You know, on the issue of campaign finance, the Sanders campaign would say that Hillary Clinton is part of the problem. She has a super PAC. She's raising lots of money from Wall Street. So how can a candidate call for a change in the system when, in fact, they're doing exactly what the system offers?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, Bernie also has separate groups like a nurses union. I don't recall which one, which has given him huge amounts of money. Yes, he has changed the landscape in some ways by getting small contributions and lots of them. And I think that can be the playbook for future campaigns. But, you know, it doesn't mean that Hillary has sold her soul to campaign contributors. She definitely has not. She's taken on other groups that have given her money. And, you know, so did Barack Obama, so did Bill Clinton. You can't say that they were corrupt or that they just followed lockstep in what any donor might wish to achieve. So I don't buy that. I do think it's good that Bernie has done what he's done, but that doesn't automatically translate into condemning Hillary for how she raises money. Let's face it, she has to raise the money to win, and she will distance herself significantly enough when she's elected.
Former Governor Madeleine Cunin is a spokesperson for the Clinton campaign in Vermont. Governor, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you, Bob. Always nice to be here.
That's our show for today. On Monday, we'll talk with former professional snowboarder Kevin Pierce and his brother Adam. Kevin suffered a traumatic brain injury from a severe fall while practicing for the Olympics. We'll learn about the effect the TBI has had on Kevin and his family and the work they've done to alert the public to the dangers of brain injuries. Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Sungari and Sam Gale Rosen. Mary Williams directed the program. Our executive producer is Patty Daniels. I'm Bob Kinzel. Have a great weekend.